Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Malicious Intent by Lynn Blackburn. Dr. Ivy Collins, founder and CEO of Hedera Incorporated, is ready to begin clinical trials of her company's cutting-edge prosthetic. Her work has been heralded by government, medical, and advocacy groups, and everyone hopes the device will be a success. Well, almost everyone. Someone is trying to sabotage Hedera and the launch, but to what purpose? And how far will they go to get what they want? Meanwhile, U.S. Secret Service agent Gil Dixon can't believe he's finally been reunited with Ivy, his childhood best friend. Now that he's found her again, Gil intends to spend the rest of his life with her. But it will take all his skill to uncover the truth in time to save Ivy's life's work, her own life, and the innocent lives caught in the crossfire.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I have two return guests, authors Patricia Bradley and Lynn Blackburn, and they're best-selling authors, and you can read all about them with the bios for this, but we're going to jump right in and get started. So welcome back to my show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm really super excited that you're both here because I love talking about writing. We had such a fun time last time, so I'm glad we're going to be able to team up here. So, let's just talk a little bit about your newest books out. That is Crosshairs for Patricia and Malicious Intent with Lynn. So we'll go to Patricia first. Just tell us a little bit about the book. How did you come up with the idea for it? What was your impetus for writing that book?
I made a trip down to Natchez Trace and for the series, my editor, I've always wanted to write a book set on the Natchez Trace. Well, my editor landed on the word Natchez, and she researched it, and that's where she wanted it set. So I knew absolutely nothing about Natchez. So I took a trip down through there. And those homes are just beautiful, those old homes. And I knew I had to have set one there. And basically, that's part of the secret. This book is full of mystery and suspense. And some of the mystery involves the house and the ancestor. And in the South, a good name is everything. And if someone's trying to ruin it, that can cause murder. So...
Good to know. So Lynn, I think your book is totally different, not set in the South, I don't think, right?
Well, I'm in North Carolina.
North Carolina,
so,
okay.
Yes, still in the Carolinas, but in Raleigh, which is, I don't want to say it's not the South, but it's definitely not as far south as Patricia's. My series right now is focused on the Secret Service office in Raleigh, North Carolina, the RAC office there. And there is a RAC office in Raleigh, but I have never talked to anyone in that office. I do have someone who is a source who has basically said, never, ever, ever say my name, which is great. He's super helpful. This particular book, the Secret Service does a lot of different things. Everybody thinks about the guys in the suits with the earpieces and walking beside the presidential limo, but the Secret Service has a dual mission, one of which is to protect the president and various other heads of state and their families. But the other mission has to do with protecting the financial infrastructure. And the main thing that comes into play is counterfeit currency. And so I have three books in my series, and I wanted one of the books at least to have something to do with counterfeit currency. And that was what I was researching toward. And then the Secret Service has a podcast, and I, of course, listened to it for research purposes. And they talked about ransomware, which I'd never heard of. And when I wrote the book, this was before, I don't know if y'all remember, but there were some ransomware issues a few months ago with a pipeline. And this was before that, but ransomware is a big problem. And I thought, oh, I can combine these two and touch on that side of the Secret Service. So this book doesn't have anything to do with presidential protection. This one is more financial and ransomware for a business. And then that's my hero's story. But the heroine is a PhD entrepreneur, and her focus is on prosthetics. And I have her having a degree. She's a bioengineer. And when I was at Clemson, I have a chemical engineering background, but I had a job and I worked in the bioengineering department at Clemson. And so I've always thought it would be fun to have a bioengineer as a heroine. And so that's where I got the idea for her.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. I love how there's so many different aspects of law enforcement. We can touch on. And I know your books, Patricia, you have what they're like, park rangers or something.
Yeah. My National Park Service rangers, and mine mostly deal. Well, this book deals with an interpretive ranger, which is the one who doesn't wear the gun. And then the law enforcement ranger, and all rangers on the Natchez Trace, which is a separate division of the National Park Service, are law enforcement rangers, and they have the capability or the authority to investigate murders and this sort of thing. And then in this particular book, there is an elite group called the ISB, Investigative Services Branch, and there are 37 agents in the United States, and they, when it's a particularly just a bad crime, they'll send the supervisory ranger asks for their help. It's kind of like with the FBI. The FBI doesn't just rush in and help. They have to usually be asked. So the ISB ranger has to be asked. And my heroine is an ISB ranger. ISB ranger. That's a mouthful.
I was going to say, can you say that faster? Because we know.
Trying to say in investigative branches service is just about as bad.
Yeah.
Investigative services branch. Yeah. I did not know that when I started the series. I thought all rangers could wear a gun and arrest people and investigate. No. They have to go through rigorous training to be a law enforcement.
And I think that, and just what Lynn was talking about with, realizing the Secret Service does more than just guard people. And I actually knew that. I think I read it in a book a while ago that they did the counterfeiting thing. And I didn't know they did investigated ransomware. So that was interesting to find out. But I think that isn't it fascinating the way you start off with one idea? Because as writers, we want to be accurate, right? And so I've often done that too. Oh, I wonder about this. And I'm like, oh, well, that can't happen, but this can. So you kind of, because we don't want to say that that your regular park rangers are around there, you know, with guns arresting people. We want to have as accurate a picture as possible, because our readers, even if they don't know that world, it's not believable unless it's has more basis in reality.
Right. Some things can be fiction. In my very first series, I moved the Tennessee River down close to Memphis. And I wanted to put a disclaimer in the book, and my editor said, no, it's fiction. They'll know. So.
Well, that's like with the Secret Service. I have kind of taken the idea that I've done as much research as I can. But it's the Secret Service. They're not going to tell me everything. I'm going to have to use my imagination at a certain point to create a story that people want to read. And when I am talking to the person who helps me with the Secret Service angle, I always have to lead with, okay, so just to be clear, it's a romance. Like I want it to be realistic, but I need you to understand I'm not trying to write a procedural here. Like this is a romance. They are going to get together at the end. Like, spoiler alert, it's going to happen. And so I have to work the story to make sure that that's possible. And he thinks that's hilarious. But I'm always saying, I don't want any mistakes to be put on the people who've given me their information. I do way more research than ever makes it into the book. But then at the same time, it is fiction. So at some point you just have to make it work for the story.
Yeah. And a couple of my books have U.S. Marshals in them and talk about not information.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to find. So you want to be as accurate as possible and talk to some law. Okay. You know, get some good scenarios, but you know, in some of those branches, you're allowed a little more leeway, I think, because there's not much written about it. They don't want people to know how they how they do. And I don't want people to know this. So,
exactly.
You know, you have to kind of, yeah, but you're right. It is kind of funny. You're like, yes, they do have to fall in love. I know, but they have to fall in love along the way. This is why we write romantic suspense. It's not straight suspense. So let's talk a little bit about that tension then, because we have the suspense and then you have the romance. And sometimes, I don't know about you two, but sometimes I get caught up in one or the other and I realize, oh, I need to go back and add a little more or take a, you know, Justice, how do you, when you're writing, do you write both at the same time? How do you do that?
Write the romance, the suspense line. It's much easier to kill them than it is to get them together. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, it is. So, and to me, the suspense drives it. And I lay the suspense line. That's my first draft is the suspense. And it comes in usually between 75 and 80,000 words or 3/4 of the book. And then I start over and I will layer romance in along it naturally as it now, and also try to create, and I am getting better at doing this as I go along, but, and creating tension with between the two and the, I always have the reason of why they can't get together and then slowly reveal why they can. And so, that's the way I do it. I'm a very lean writer. So it's, I do always have to go back and add. And it's always the romance I have to work on.
Okay.
Okay. So this is going to be fun because I'm the exact opposite.
Elaborate.
I love the romance. The romance is my favorite part. I tried to write just straight up romance, but then my characters kept turning into like undercover agents and things like that. And I was like, I give up. I'm going to have to write the suspense. But the suspense is the hardest part for me. I have no trouble writing the romance. And I love not only the romantic relationships in my books, but also the friendships and the group. I always tend to think of my series as an ensemble cast, you know, like with like a television show would have an ensemble cast like Friends, you know, they're all a big part of it. And each book focuses on a couple, but they're all a big part of all three books. And the romance is my favorite. I always have probably more kissing than is typical in suspense. And I think it's fun to have kind of both sides of that. I love the way the suspense angle ratchets up the stakes and the tension and pushes the characters into the romance maybe a little faster than they would have because of that whole, you know, adrenaline and the intense situation that pushes them there. But I have to work on adding the suspense. I have to make an effort to do that. And not only that, but I am not a lean writer at all. My drafts tend to wind up somewhere in the 100 to 110,000 word range, and my word count is 85 to 90. So I always end up having to write the whole thing and then I cut. I'm not adding anything. I'm like, what can I get rid of? What scenes do I not really need? They're interesting for character development, but they're not moving the story forward or they're slowing the pacing down, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's always fun to see that that side of it. And our publisher at Revell, they know that. So the marketing team thinks it's, you know, it's kind of an interesting on the scale of romantic suspense, the general consensus is that Lynn lands on the romantic side, yeah. Where some of the authors land more on the suspense side. And I think it's great that we have that that range. And it's also fun just to hear how other people do it, because I would have like 50,000 words at the most if I only did the suspense.
I wouldn't have that much on the romance, but you know,
I love it.
Yeah. The thing is, my books usually happen in like 3 or 4 days. And if these people have never met, or if they were like with these two, they were almost engaged or were engaged at one time. But you can't get back. I can only give them a promise of a happily ever after. And you just can't. With mine, it's just a slower development because so much action is taking place.
And I tend to have characters that have some previous relationship.
It's easy. So
that it's not completely like we met. There's not a meet cute where we've never known this person before this happened. There's always some kind of history. And then I tend to have an epilogue because I actually did know that I was going to marry my husband after about a month. So I do believe people can fall in love that way, but I didn't tell anybody that because I knew they'd think I was crazy. And I was very young. I was 19 when we met, but we didn't get married until I finished college. So I always have an epilogue that shows the characters 6 months later, a year later, sometimes there's a proposal, that kind of thing because I agree. Sometimes depends on the relationship prior to the beginning of the book, but it is a stretch to have them engaged at the end of the actual story because that's pushing the bounds a little bit. So I usually write an epilogue so my readers get the full happily ever after aspect. Mm-hmm. And because I like that part, so I want it.
I tend to have a promise of a happily ever after.
Yes.
And sometimes in the follow-up books, although mine are standalone, in the follow-up books, the reader will see some of what happens. But I don't spend a lot of time on that because I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of work. You know, word count hurts sometimes because you can't always say everything you want to.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this was great, and we are out of time. So thank you both so much for coming back on my show and talking about your books and your writing experiences.
This was fun. Thank you.
This was fun. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I have with me Patricia Bradley and Lynn Blackburn, and you can see more about them and their latest books in the notes for this podcast.
Crosshairs by Patricia Bradley. Investigative Services Branch ISB Ranger Ainsley Beaumont arrives in her hometown of Natchez, Mississippi to investigate the murder of a 3-month pregnant teenager. While she wishes the visit was under better circumstances, she never imagined that she would become the killer's next target, nor that she'd have to work alongside an old flame. After he almost killed a child, former FBI sniper Lincoln Steele couldn't bring himself to fire a gun, which had deadly and unforeseen consequences for his best friend. Crushed beneath a load of guilt, Link is working at Melrose Estate as an interpretive ranger. But as danger closes in on Ainsley during her murder investigation, Link will have to find the courage to protect her. The only question is, will it be too little too late?
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.